I was in love with David, and when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. I will give her to him, he thought, so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So Saul said to David, "Now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law." Then Saul ordered his attendants, "Speak to David privately and say, 'Look, the king likes you, and his attendants all love you. Now become his son-in-law.'" They repeated these words to David. But David said, "Do you think it is a small matter to become the king's son-in-law? I'm only a poor man and little known." When Saul's servants told him what David had said, Saul replied, "Say to David, 'The king wants no other price for the bride than 100 Philistine foreskins to take revenge on his enemies.'" Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hands of the Philistines. When the attendants told David these things, he was pleased to become the king's son-in-law. So before the allotted time elapsed, David took his men with him and went out and killed 200 Philistines and brought back their foreskins. They counted out the full number to the king so that David might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him his daughter, Michal, in marriage. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter, Michal, loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy the rest of his days. The Philistine commanders continued to go out to battle, and as often as they did, David met with more success than the rest of Saul's officer, and his name became well known. Bless these words.
Let us pray. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the beautiful changing seasons. Thank you that we can come out here freely this morning in the little church on the hill and worship you and honor you and love you and thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Please let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct this service as we continue on. Please let your words be heard. Let our hearts be open. And let the Holy Spirit lead God and direct all things, and let all things be to the glory of God. In his amazing Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you, Brother Larry, for reading the scripture from 1 Samuel. In a quick review of last week, Pastor Mike titled his sermon, "Love and Jealousy." As we remember, Saul was becoming increasingly jealous of David. And looking back in verses 6 and 7, when the men were returning home after David had killed Goliath, the women came out in all the towns and met Saul and David singing and dancing with joyful songs and timbrels and lyres. And they danced and sang, "Saul had slain his thousands and David tens of thousands." So we know verse 9 is so crucial. And Saul eyed David evilly from that day on. He kept a jealous watch on him because he didn't share the admiration and affection like that of the whole community. Everybody loves David, and Saul knew why they loved him. It wasn't just because he was handsome. It wasn't just because he was good at battle. No, because it was that the Lord was with him. In contrast to Saul's own condition, because remember, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. And so from that point, fear becomes the hallmark of Saul's existence. In David's case, victory and popularity. In Saul's case, an ever-diminishing picture of a man.
Amen.
Once a big, tall character, Saul, who was held in prospect for the people as he comes forward to fulfill the role as king, and now look at him, reduced to a shadow of himself and resolving to deceit at the most basic level. Saul became angry and jealous of David because of his popularity with the people. This jealousy leads to further scheming by Saul, which we see in this passage today. Before moving on, I would like to give a brief illustration of what jealousy can lead a person to do and what it does to their heart. This is a story told of two shopkeepers who were bitter rivals. Their stores were directly across the street from each other, and they would spend the day keeping track of each other's businesses. If one got a customer, the other one, he would look across in triumph at his rival. And one night an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers and said, "I will give you anything you ask, but whatever you receive, your enemy will receive twice as much. Would you be rich? You can be very rich, but he will be twice as wealthy. Do you want to live a long and healthy life? You can, but his life will be longer and healthier. What is your desire?" The man frowned, and he thought about it for a long time. Then he said, "Here is my request. Strike me blind in one eye." While we smile at this humorous illustration, but the jealousy is really a terrible trait. The Oxford English Dictionary defines jealousy as being envious of someone else's possessions, achievements, or advantages.
Amen.
We can see that Saul was very envious of David, which led to further scheming against David in hopes that David's life would be taken. In looking at our Bibles with verse 17, "So Saul said to David, 'Here is my oldest daughter, Merib. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me and bravely fight the battles of the Lord.' For Saul said to himself, 'I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do that.' Saul thought that if the Philistines killed David, his hands would be clean of David's blood. A commentary by Richard Phillips made this point, but there were other ways to arrange a funeral, and one of them was by dangling the prospect of marriage before the young hero. Heidi and I again watched and read sermons that Alistair Begg had given on Samuel chapter 18, and wanted to bring up a point to you that he made in the clear discrepancy that exists between the things that Saul said and the things that Saul was thinking. He said certain things in one way, and then we discovered that the thoughts of his heart do not match with the words coming out of his mouth, as we saw in verses 17. But David knew he came from a poor family, so David was humbled to think that a lowly person such as himself could be married to a woman of such high standing as Merib, the daughter of the king. But instead of giving Merib to David, Saul gave her to Merib to Adriel the Methanite for a wife, perhaps to mess with young David's emotions. So Saul, King Saul, comes up with another scheme to have David killed when he heard that his daughter Michal loved David in verse 20. Pastor Begg brought up another point that we did not know. He states, although we're told just in a sentence that Michal loved David, he said, "Incidentally, this is the only place in the whole Bible where you have a direct statement of a woman loving anybody else in the entire body." Michal loved David, but all the emphasis here is on him becoming the son-in-law of the king. And let's think about that for a moment. This is an interesting angle. I don't know about you fine men here in the congregation, but as much as I love Clarence Whitey Bullinger, becoming his son-in-law was not actually the draw in my case. He was a fine and wonderful man, but the plan was not, "Oh, I'd like to be the son-in-law of Clarence." There was another plan altogether. Moving on to verse 21. "I will give her to him," he thought, "so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." So King Saul says to David, "Now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law." There's another discrepancy of what Saul is saying and what he is actually thinking. When David again humbly hesitated to become the king's son-in-law because of his lowly estate and poverty. Saul said to David, through his servants, "The king desires no bride price except 100 foreskins of the Philistines, that he may be avenged of the king's enemies." Saul was sure that David would be killed, as the text says in verses 25. Now Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines.
Amen.
Incidentally, if we remember back in chapter 17, verse 25, when David came to the camp and the Israelites and the Philistines was camped out. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do we see how this man keeps coming out?" Speaking of Goliath, "He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." If that actually was a promise, then the fact that David was unable to produce the bride price is an indication of the fact that Saul himself did not keep his part of the bargain. If that was a true statement of promise on his part, then he wouldn't have been a problem for David in this circumstance to produce the bride price, because he would have already had logged it in his account. Therefore, when the challenge came, he would have been able to appeal it. Clearly, this is not the case. So the challenge is cast again from Saul's mouth in terms that would make us think that he was actually concerned about victory over the king's enemies. Now, Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. But what he actually says was, "I don't desire a bride price except for the foreskins of the Philistines, because I'm really interested that my enemies would be avenged." But Saul did not reckon that the Lord was with David. David arose and went along with his men and killed the 200 Philistines. The text does not say how the foreskins were presented to Saul, but reluctantly, I'm sure, Saul gave David his daughter Michal for a wife. Saul's schemes show that he was desperate to kill God's anointed servant. His schemes also show how far he was in rebellion against God. We can clearly see that if you are in rebellion against God, you must realize that your plans will never succeed.
Amen.
And finally, let's observe David's success. Verses 28 and 29 say, "But when Saul saw and knew the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, Saul was even more afraid of David." So Saul was David's enemy continually. David's success is clearly stated in verse 30. "Then the commanders of the Philistines came out to battle, and as often as they came out, David had more success than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was highly esteemed." This is, in fact, the fourth reference in this chapter to David's success. The other three references were in verses 5, 14, and 15. Moreover, David's success is attributed to the fact that the Lord was with David, and this is asserted three times in chapter 18 in verses 12, 14, and 28. So we see this morning there are really three primary figures in what we look at here today. First, there is Saul, who pictures the person who is in open rebellion against God. Second, there is David, who demonstrates true humility and dependence upon God that leads to God's protection and blessing. And finally, there is God himself, who providentially orchestrates everything.
Amen.
Let's also note the very clear contrast between David's self-assessment and the esteem of which he is held. Verse 23, "I'm a poor man and little known." Verse 30 says, "So his name became well known. There's a lot of places we can go with that. It is a reminder to us of the general principle that you find, for example, in Isaiah the prophet. In chapter 66, verse 2 says, "This is the one to whom I will look, says the Lord. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." All the boasting has been on the part of Saul. All the expressions of humility has been found on the lips of David.
Amen.
In conclusion, we see that David was successful because the Lord was with him. First, David acted humbly. Though everyone loved David and praised him, he did not let it go to his head. He continued to serve Saul and the people for their own good, and he humbly looked to the good of others. Second, David acted wisely. In all four instances where the text says that David was successful, it can also be translated that David acted wisely. David continued to do what the Lord had called him to do. He played the lyre for Saul. He went on military expeditions for Saul. David fulfilled the duty to which he was called. Third, David never retaliated. When Saul hurled his spear at David, David simply evaded him twice. Even when Saul was David's enemy continually, David did not react.
Amen.
And finally, David remembered his anointing. David knew that he was the Lord's anointed servant and that he would one day become king. And so he constantly prepared for the service he would render to the Lord. David points us to Christ. Like David, Jesus acted humbly. Even though he had many enemies, he served them to the very end. Like David, Jesus acted wisely. Jesus did everything the Father called him to do. Like David, Jesus never retaliated, especially at his crucifixion, where Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and not his own. He did not retaliate against the cruel treatment he received. And like David, Jesus remembered his anointing. Jesus was the anointed servant sent by his Father to save the sinners such as ourselves.
Amen.
In closing, I would like to read a few verses that Heidi and I found in remembering our veterans. And the first one is in Romans chapter 13, verse 7. In Romans 13, verse 7. Says, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So we, of course, today will give them all the honor and respect that they deserve. And in John chapter 15, verse 13. So John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And as we have discussed, and as Brother Larry brought forth, that lots of the soldiers laid down their lives for their brothers. And finally, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, as our amazing veterans did in all of the history of the country. Let us pray. O precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for your holy word. Thank you that we have it so we can look back on it and learn from it and use it to lead, guide, and direct our lives. Thank you for the Holy Spirit revealing these truths to us about your word. Without him, we would have no understanding of it. Please send us out with the help of the Holy Spirit this week to do as David did, what you lead God and direct us to do. Let us lead a holy life, honoring to you and furthering the kingdom. Thank you again, as we mentioned, your son Jesus, who came to the earth, the perfect and amazing sacrifice that was sin-free and died on the cross for our sins and was rose on the third day and now sits beside God the Father, interceding for us. And what an amazing, unbelievable blessing that is, that we cannot even fathom, that we cannot even wrap our mind around. So thank you for your son Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to close with Rock of Ages 126.